The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
So again, I want to officially welcome everybody. I want to welcome our podcasters. I want to welcome our YouTubers. And I want to welcome our Facebook Livers. As you can see today, this is going to be a very sobering subject. This is a topic that was inspired through my own personal devotional. It was out of a scripture, out of Ecclesiastes, even though the title here is it's appointed unto man once to die. That is a partial quote from Hebrews 9:27 that says, "And it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment." But let me go up here. I want to read you Ecclesiastes. This is the scripture that actually set me in motion to talk about the topic that I'm talking about today. And again, I want to welcome everybody jumping on. I know everybody's jumping on a different time here live on Facebook, and we welcome all of you guys, and we hope you're having a good day, and we hope that this message resonates with it. Listen, if this message resonates with one person, perhaps one person will get on this broadcast today, either on podcast or they'll find it on YouTube. And maybe they don't know the Lord. They don't have a relationship with God. Or somehow this will get shared with that one person. Then it's all worth it for that one individual. Amen? But let me read this. Ecclesiastes, this was written by Solomon, the son of David. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 4 says, now this is from the New Living Translation. I like the way it reads this. It says, "A wise person thinks a lot about death, but a fool thinks only about having a good time." Now I'm going to paraphrase this. Again, this is Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 4. A wise man or a wise individual thinks about the reality of death, but a fool only thinks about the present. They're partying up the present. They're having a good time in the present. They're not thinking about tomorrow. They're not thinking about the consequences of eternity. They're not thinking about death. They're not making arrangements. Now you say, well, who in the world does that? I'm not telling you that you have to go out tomorrow and make funeral arrangements. And I'm not saying you have to shop for a coffin. And I'm not saying you have to go get a plot at a cemetery. I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying you have to make out a will. What I'm saying is, the Word of God says that God puts eternity in the hearts of men. In other words, every individual, I don't care if you're watching this broadcast or you're listening to this broadcast, and you may say, well, I don't believe in Jesus Christ, or I don't believe in God. Listen, every person, the Word of God says that every individual on the planet has eternity in their hearts. Now, they may have a different view of eternity. They may have a different view of the God of eternity. They may have a different view on the path to get unto eternity. But nevertheless, eternity is stamped in their hearts. Some will go off into eternity sooner than others. Some will go later than others. But according to the Word of God, it is appointed unto man one time to die, and then the judgment. Now, some people, I will say this, some people are fortunate enough that they are given a second chance of life. We've heard all these stories, and they come out all the time. People die. They have an after-death experience. They die. Some of them see the afterlife. Some of them see beyond this earth. Some of them experience hell. Some of them experience heaven. Some of them experience demonic powers. Some of them experience angelic powers. Now, I'm not going to get into all the dynamics of that, but I'm going to tell you, I'm not willing to take a gamble on whether or not I'm going to be one of those very, very, very small percentage of individuals that die and actually come back and get a second chance at this thing. I'm not going to take that gamble, and I don't think you should either. But let me give you some statistics here. Very sobering statistics. 151,000, approximately 151,600 people die every single day. And when we break this down, that's approximately 6,316 people die every hour. I'm just saying this. Just let this soak in. 105 people die every minute. And you ready for this? That boils down to every second that goes by. Two people die every second on Earth. Every second that goes by on a clock, on your watch, on a timer, every second, two people goes into eternity. Two people just went into eternity. Two people just slipped into eternity. Think about that, guys. Every second, two people slip into eternity, either not knowing God or having a relationship with Christ. So while you're soaking that in, I want to give you some other, these are interesting facts that I pulled up about death. 3 days after dying, the enzymes that help break down a person's food begin to eat that person's body. Did you know that? During the death process, the larynx loses its cough reflex, which creates a buildup of mucus. This is what's called the death rattle, or the gurgling, or the rattle-like sound of an individual dying. Between 1 to 9 minutes after death, a person's pupils will begin to dilate, and they will cloud over. The cloud look is from potassium in the red blood cells breaking down. Because most people die with their eyes open, the process usually occurs fairly quickly, though it can take up to 3 hours in some cases. Here's some other facts. Even after 6 hours of dying, a person's muscles continue to spasm periodically. Here's something else. As a person dies, his or her hearing is the last sense to go. Out of all five senses, the hearing is the last sense to go. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God made it that way for a reason. Because when your loved one, whether it be your father, your mother, your uncle, your cousin, your aunt, your uncle, your brother, your sister, your spouse, your wife, your neighbor, your coworker, whoever it is, can be on their deathbed. They still have a beating heart, but their eyes are closed. They can't speak, but they're hooked up to a machine. And some people will even say they can't hear what you're saying, or they can't communicate with what you're saying. But it's a medical fact that the last sense to leave the physical body at death is the sense of hearing. And the reason why I believe God made it that way is so that when your loved one or an individual that you care about or you're witnessing to is laying on that bed, they're hooked up to machines, they're hooked up to a breathing apparatus, they're hooked up to a heart monitor, they can't speak, they're not responsive, they're not opening their eyes. Friends, you can get up to their head, you can get up to the ear, and you can speak to them. Come on, and witness to them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they can accept it in their heart before they pass away, and they can believe and receive right there in their bed, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you say, well, they got to confess with their mouth. If they confess in their heart, friends, listen, God made this thing to be where he is merciful. God is so merciful. In fact, two individuals that I care deeply about, one was a good friend of mine. He was 23 years of age. He died of lymphoma cancer, laying on the bed just like this. He was not responsive. He couldn't speak. He was laying there with his eyes wide open. But I went up to his head and I whispered in his ear and told him that I loved him. He knew the Lord already. I led him to the Lord before he ever got cancer. So he already had a relationship with God. But I came up to his ear and I told him, I said, Daniel, I love you and I'm going to miss you for a short time. But I want you to know there's coming a day, oh hallelujah, that I'm going to be with you, and where you are, I'll be with you in heaven, and we will rejoice together. We're going to dance together. We're going to shout together, and we're going to praise God together. I'm going to miss you for this short period, but we will see each other again. And I loved him and told him goodbye. And you know, shortly after that, my wife and I stepped out of the room. We went downstairs, and his mother came to his bedside, who was not a believer, didn't know the Lord, came up to him, started shaking him, just being the mother she is, responding out of emotion, shaking him and telling him, Daniel, you can fight this thing. You can fight. Hang on, fight. Just keep fighting. And she said, she told us, because we were downstairs, we weren't there. We came back upstairs. He had already gone on to be with the Lord. She was weeping. The doctor was there, and he'd already given up the spirit. And she pulled me aside, and she pulled Melissa aside, and she pulled some other friends aside, and she was shaking. She was visibly shaking. And she said, I got to tell you what happened. And we said, okay. She said, after you left the room and said your goodbye and went downstairs for a few minutes to get some air, she said, I came up to the bed. I began to shake him and tell him, Daniel, you can fight this. You can fight this. You can do this. You're stronger than this. You can fight this cancer. She said, now look, keep in mind, she does not have a relationship with God. She said she heard an audible voice speak to her and said, Linda, it's time to let him go. That's all she heard. She heard an audible voice. And she knew, she didn't question it. She knew it was the voice of God, and she knew she had to let him go. So she squeezed his hand, and she got up close to him, and she kissed him on the face, and she called him Junior. She said, Junior, she said, if you're tired of fighting and you're ready to go be with Jesus, it's okay. Go and be with Jesus and be with him and not fight this anymore. And she said, the moment she said that, his eyes had been open the whole time for over an hour, just staring up into, I believe he was seeing into the third heaven. Remember when Stephen was being stoned? He said, while they were stoning him and he was about to die and give up the ghost, he said, I see heaven opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. I believe Daniel was looking up, and I believe the angels of the Lord were ready to take him, but he was not willing to go until everyone else said their goodbyes. I don't have time to talk about. I can talk about my grandmother passing. I can talk about my mother passing. I'm telling you, when loved ones go and they pass, God's mercy allows them an opportunity to say their goodbyes. And many times, those individuals who are ready to go will not go because the people will not let them go, and or their will is holding them on. So she kissed him goodbye. She said, Junior, if you don't want to fight anymore and you want to go be with Jesus, after she heard the audible voice of God, she said, then go be with him. She said, after an hour of his eyes wide open, gazing into the ceiling, looking into the ceiling, I believe he was looking into heaven, looking at the angels about ready to come get him at the call of the Lord, she said he closed his eyes and a tear fell down his cheek and he gave up the spirit. Friends, I'm telling you, there is a real eternity. There's a real kingdom outside of this world. There's a real, come on, there's a real place with a real God, with real angels and real saints that have a relationship with him that is passed on. And just like there's a real place in the core of the earth that is a holding chamber of the dead called Hades. A compartment of a place of torment, of where people who don't refuse a relationship with Christ will go there when they die and give up the spirit. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You either go up to a path and to a place called heaven, or you go down to a place called Hades or hell. Let me give you some more of these facts An Ethiopia child is 30 times more likely to die by his or her fifth birthday than a child in Western Europe. Lack of physical exercise is one of the leading causes of preventable deaths worldwide. Hello? Air pollution kills over 7 million people a year alone. Vending machines kill 13 people a year. Interesting. It is estimated that the number of people killed in wars throughout all of history is between 150 million and 1 billion people. Think about that. During World War II, about 80% of all Soviet males that were born in 1923 died. In 1900, the lifespan in America was an average of 47 years of age. In 1950, it was 68. And in 2000, it was 77 years of age. I'm going to skip over some of this. It is estimated that about 100 billion people have died since Homo sapiens appeared on Earth. Again, it's an estimated. This is an estimation. Nobody knows this. But 100 billion people. Let's just say hypothetically this is correct. That's a lot of people in eternity, guys. The last words of Thomas Edison were, quote, "It is very beautiful over there." Wow. Listen to this. More people die from selfies than from shark attacks. How stupid. Think about that for a second, where we are right now. Natural deaths spike on Christmas, the day after Christmas, and on New Year's. Researchers believe junior staffing at hospitals and the tendency for people to delay treatment after the main reasons for the increase are the main reason for the increase. However, suicides and homicide rates decrease during the holidays. And I believe some of that's demonic too. I believe that the devil purposely tries to take people out during Christmas and New Year's and birthdays and Thanksgiving and holidays. Why? Because these are traditions that we celebrate every single year. Think about it, guys. And if something tragic happens to a loved one on that time frame, it's something that we are forced to call to remembrance every single year because it's celebrated every single year in America. So think about that. I believe that's one of the reasons why the enemy purposely attacks families during that time frame. It's estimated that malaria has been responsible for half the deaths of everyone who has ever lived. We don't think about this in America. On average, 21 people in the U.S. die each day from lack of available organs for transplant. Since the AIDS pandemic began in 1985, over 22 million people have died from the disease. Wow. In 1918, the common flu virus killed 21 million to 50 million people around the year. Since 1918. Between 1347 and 1352, the bubonic plague killed approximately 75 million people worldwide. That is including one-third of the entire population of Europe. Every year, car accidents kill 1.2 million people worldwide. Every day, 29,000 children or 21 children a minute die due to poverty. And then last but not least, approximately 830 women die each day from pregnancy or childbirth-related complications around the world. We don't think about this, guys, because we live in our own little bubbles. We live with our faces buried in Facebook or on Twitter or on Instagram or in our own little worlds, and we don't think outside of this. Now, let me give you some scriptures. Listen to what James said in James chapter 4. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into or do such and such in town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are but a vapor or a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Think about it. Psalms 90 verse 12. David said, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Psalms 39:4, Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Job 14:1-2, man who is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. Job said he is but a few days. Did you know? Listen, all young people, listen to this. You think you're young, you're in your 20s, and you've got your whole life ahead of you. I'm telling you, it'll be a few days. You may live to be 70, 80, 90 years old, but I'm going to tell you, it'll be a few days. Some of y'all think about it, guys. You could think right now, you could remember when you were 15, 13, 20, in your prime, and you go to bed one morning or one night, and you wake up and you're 40 years old. Your kids are grown up. You remember when they were infants. You remember when you were feeding them with a bottle and you were changing their diapers and they had a passy and their thumb in their mouth and they couldn't walk and they couldn't talk. And now all of a sudden they're driving. All of a sudden they're graduating. All of a sudden they're getting married. All of a sudden they have their own home. They have their own career. Now they have kids of their own. And it just seemed like a few days ago. In Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 36, Jesus warns us that Satan will tempt us with pleasures of this world. He'll give us fame. He'll give us fortune. He'll give us notoriety. He'll give us recognition. He'll make us a somebody on this side of heaven. And while we're so busy living up this life, and exhausting all of our time and our efforts trying to be somebody on this side of heaven, that we neglect the other side of heaven, eternity. Listen to this. When he called the people to himself of the disciples, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow after me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it." Think about that statement. In other words, there could be a man who he was never able to make his mark on this side of heaven. Maybe he never became a successful businessman. Maybe he never got to climb the ladder of fortune and fame and recognition. He was never successful in the eyes of man. He never lived the American dream. He never had the big house and he never had the good life or the two cars or the white picket fence and the nice wife and the four children and had the American way. Maybe he never lived to do that. Maybe he was someone overseas who never experienced the American dream, because he wasn't born in America. But maybe he was born in a location called, the missionaries called, the 1040 window, which is where the most harsh persecution comes against Christians and Christianity. It's the greatest group of people that are persecuted in all the world. And many of them never live to an old age because they're either incarcerated or they're killed for the sake of the gospel. But here it is. Watch this. Here is individuals who never gain this world's treasures and riches, but they died martyrs on this side of heaven. And when they stepped through those pearly gates, they heard, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into thy riches, for you are faithful over what is little, and now you'll be ruler over what is much. But on the other hand, there's people on this side of heaven who they had it all. They lived the American dream. They had multiple nice vehicles. They had the large house, and they had all the money. They had the wealth. They had the prestige, the fame, the fortune. Their face was on the cover of Fortune magazine or Forbes magazine. They were in the top of the tier of most influential people, and they were multimillionaires, multibillionaires. They invented this, or they were creators of this, and they were well known around the world. But yet they died and never having a relationship with Christ. Here's what the Lord says about this. For what, verse 36 of Mark 8. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Let me ask you. If somebody came to you and they handed you a suitcase and it was filled with millions of dollars and they said, are you willing to take a gamble with your soul? And if you are, you can have all this right now. What would you say? Think about it for a minute. Would you say, yes, I'm willing to take a gamble with my soul? Or would you say, no amount of money, no price tag can be put on my eternal soul? So I'm going to ask you, where are you storing your treasures today? Matthew 6, 19, 21 says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where neither thieves shall break in nor steal. For where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. I get tickled at Christians that claim they love the Lord, but yet when you look at, if you look at their checkbook, you look at their checking account with their money, it testifies something different. But Jesus said, where your treasure is where your heart will be also. Friends, you can't love God with your heart and not love Him with your money. Oh, I'm going to make some folks mad on this one right here, but I'm going to tell you, if you've been transformed by the gospel, you are going to be transformed in your pocketbook and in your money and in your treasures. And I'm going to tell you, not only do my wife and I store up our treasures in heaven, we are faithful tithers and been faithful tithers for 19 years that we've been serving God. And we've seen God bless us exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could even ask or think. And the more He blesses us, the more we give, the more we tithe, the more we store up our treasures in heaven. And now we have an 11-year-old and we have a 4-year-old, and we're teaching them these principles, teaching them to give to the poor, give to the widow, give to the orphans, give to the needy. And sowing into missionary work. Why? Because we're storing up our treasures in heaven. In Luke 12, there's a story of a man who had it all on earth, but he was bankrupt in heaven. Let me say that again. In Luke 12, there's a story of a man. He had it all on this side of heaven, but he was bankrupt on that side of heaven. Listen to this. And he said to them, this is in Luke 12, 15. Take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. And then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plenty. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? Notice his heart was not about being a recipient. In other words, his heart was not in giving, but it was in taking. As the more he received, the more he built up and the more he stored up, but he wasn't giving out. He was taking in, but not giving out. And he says, listen to this. The ground of a certain rich man yielded plenty, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and I'll build greater. And there I will store all my crops and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. In other words, as long as I'm sitting high on the hog and I'm sitting fat with prosperity, with wealth and riches and goods, then everything's okay. But listen to this in verse 20 of Luke 12. But God says to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. In other words, you're going to die tonight. You may not know it, but you are about to die. Then who will these things be which you have provided? In other words, who is going to fight over your stuff that you've left behind? Because you decided not to invest in heaven, invest in the kingdom, invest in the poor, invest in the... Listen, I'm not against having things. Guys, you know my heart. If you've known me and you've listened to me by any length of time, you know the Bible even says, let them shout for joy and let the Lord be magnified who finds pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Even in 3 John 2, it says, beloved, above all things, I wish that thou may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So I'm not against prosperity, and neither is the Lord, because thou shalt remember it is the Lord thy God who gives thee the power to make wealth. Why? So that he can establish thy covenant. He wants to bless you. He wants to prosper you so that you can be a blessing to someone else in need. Okay? And how do we do that? We do that. Go to Matthew 25. As you do unto the least of these, you did it unto me. You gave to the poor, you give to the widow, you give to the orphan, you give to the needy, you help those in need. And as you help those in the flesh, as you do this on earth, you're doing it, you're storing up treasures in heaven. In Malachi 3, it says there's a book written in heaven that's called the Book of Remembrance. And in that book, not only is our conversations recorded, but our givings recorded, our actions are recorded, our words are recorded, our intents are recorded, and our motives are recorded. In Acts chapter 10, Cornelius is praying and fasting, and an angel of God shows up and says, Cornelius, your prayers and your giving has gone up before God as a memorial. Don't tell me God ain't paying attention. Listen to what he says. He said, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And listen to this. So is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. So is he who what? He's a fool. Now, I didn't call you a fool. The Word of God said it, not me. But listen, do I want to be blessed on earth? Yes. Do I want to prosper on this side of heaven? Yes, because I believe it's the will of God for us to be blessed and prosper on this side of heaven. But I don't want to be so blessed on this side of heaven, but be bankrupt on that side of heaven. Come on, I believe let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Come on, I want to be such a blessing on this side of heaven that when I step through on that side of heaven and hear well done, good and faithful servant, not only will I get into heaven, but I can have some crowns laid up for me. Come on, somebody. Hebrews 9:27. I'm about to close this message. We've gone 33 minutes. Let me go back to this original foundation of this, Hebrews 9:27. And it is appointed for men once to die. You've only got one shot at this, guys, one life. Some is shorter, some is longer. And I believe in standing on the promises of God. And now for me and my family, we stand on the promises of God. But it says, but after this life, this is not the end game. Atheists believe this is all we have. And Paul said, if we believe there is no resurrection, we are all the most miserable. He said, let us eat and marry and get drunk and have an orgy, because today we live and we will die and there is nothing. But Paul said, but if Christ is risen from the dead, come on somebody, and he is. After this, the judgment. What's he talking about? The judgment. When you go to Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15, there's what's called the Great White Throne Judgment. Now, this judgment is reserved for the ungodly, for the unregenerated, for those who will not be found in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. This Great White Throne Judgment is not for the believers. If we have a relationship with God, we die in Christ, we will be judged at what's called the Bema judgment, and then we'll be given out rewards there. And that will be take place in heaven is along with the marriage supper of the Lamb. But on earth, there's going to be a great white throne judgment. Believers are not subject to this, but all those who never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they will stand before this great white throne judgment. And here's what God says about it in Revelation 20, 11 through 15. And then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to the works by the things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. And death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. And then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone, listen to this, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. Friends, I know this is definitely not one of those hoot and holler and shout and scream and joyous messages. This is a very sobering message. But I'm telling you, when I was reading that out of the book of Ecclesiastes, my spirit was quickened. I felt a quickening in my heart about this. So I know that this may be for one person. And if it's for one person, it's all worth it. So I want to give you some information, but before we do that, guys, right now, I want to give you an opportunity. I don't care if you're listening by podcast, if you're listening or watching by YouTube, you're watching by Facebook. Listen, either if you don't know, if you don't have a personal relationship with Christ, or maybe you're away from Christ, this message is for you. We want to give you an opportunity right now where you're at, where you're listening. I'm asking that the Holy Spirit of God begin to quicken you, begin to arrest you. He begin to pull your heart towards the very words that I'm saying right now. And that is a self-examination. Listen, only you know your relationship with God, and you know what that relationship is. Listen, I don't have to beat you over the head with the Bible to make you and convince you to know whether or not you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You already know this. But here's what I want to do. I want to invite you right now, whether you're backslid, whether you're away from God, or whether you don't know God. We want to give you an invitation right now to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and ask the Holy Spirit to come in you, live in you, and live through you right now. And that your name can also be put in the Lamb's Book of Life, so that you can have an assurance that when you lay your head down at rest tonight, or listen, we don't know. You could leave work today. You could lay your head down today. In fact, my cousin's grandmother, just last weekend, she was in her 90s, woman of God, woman of prayer, feared the Lord. She laid down. She knew the time was closing in. She just simply laid down at night, crossed her arms to go to sleep, and they found her in the same position the next day, laying there with her arms folded. She fell asleep on this side of heaven, but woke up on that side of heaven and went on to be with the Lord. Listen, I would love for every one of us to go in that like manner. I pray that we do. I pray and believe that I do. But we don't know. I can't tell you what's going to happen 5 minutes from now, a half hour from now, 2 hours from now, tomorrow. We don't know. But I do know this. One day, as sure as I'm standing here, if you are not alive and well, when the trumpet sounds, I believe there's a generation that will be alive at the coming of the Lord when the trumpet will sound. But if the Lord should tarry, we're all going to die as sure as we were born. And when that day comes, whenever that is, friends, I want to know. I don't know about you, but I want to make my assurance right and know that my heart is right with Jesus. Why don't you do that right now? Listen, I'm not going to ask you to repeat anything after me. What I am going to do is pray with me. I'm going to pray, and I want you to pray with me. Let's do that right now. Father, and you don't have to pray exactly how I do. I just want you to pray. I want you to talk to Jesus. He's bigger than that, guys. He's bigger than just reciting something out of my mouth. Just pray and talk to Him. Father, I thank you for every individual under the sound of my voice. Lord, that's listening by podcast, YouTube, or Facebook. And Lord, I believe that this message was for somebody. I believe your word does not return void, but it establishes that and prospers in that which it's sent forth to do. And Lord, if there's anybody listening today, I pray that, Lord, they begin to repent of their sins. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our transgressions, our iniquities, our trespasses. Lord, if there be anything in us that would hinder us, Lord God, from having our hearts assured before you, God. Lord, if there's anything in us, if we've done anything that, Lord God, would hinder us from being born again, I pray right now that you'd put it under your blood. In fact, Jesus, I ask that you would wash me and that you would cleanse me and that you'd forgive me of all my sins. Forgive me of all my trespasses. And I'm asking that you put my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, I want to be heaven bound. I want to know that I know that if I was to put my head down on my pillow and wake up in eternity, that, Lord, I would know that I'm waking up in the arms of you, Jesus. And I'm asking, Jesus, that you'd put your Holy Spirit in me and that he would live in me and through me and operate through my life and be a blessing to everybody around me. And Lord, I want to read your word, hear your word. I want to have a close, personal, intimate relationship with you. And I ask that you would help me to do that day after day after day. And if there be anybody listening and you have backslid, you're away from God right now, just come back to him. Repent as the prodigal son did. He came to himself. He turned and went back to the Father. Just come back into his arms. Repent of your sins, repent of your rebellion, and come back into the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, get back in your word, get back in prayer, get back in your local church, and just keep serving the Lord in Jesus' name. Come on, do you believe that today? Listen, if you prayed that in any way, form, or fashion, you meant that with your heart, friends, you are born again. And we welcome you to the family today, and we want to congratulate you. Did you know that all of heaven is rejoicing? Even the angels of God are rejoicing that you said yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't take that lightly, guys, and we don't take that for granted today, and we appreciate you taking that time to make that decision, the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. And listen, if you do not have a home church, and this goes for everybody listening to this broadcast today by podcast, YouTube, Facebook, if you don't have a home church, maybe you physically can't get to a church, maybe you have some disability, you're home ridden, you, whatever the case is, or there's no spirit-filled churches or Bible-believing churches in your area. We get it. We understand that. And we want to give you an opportunity. If you're in that predicament, you're in that circumstance, we want to invite you. You guys on Facebook, right there, you'll see it where it says, come join us in our online community. Click on that link. You're going to, and we want to invite you to be a part of our online community. You guys on YouTube, you can go to our Facebook page. You're going to find that information. You guys on podcast, all that information as well. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, right up at the very top. If you're on mobile, you click on the little bars that come down, and you're going to see a place where it says ETH or eChurch or ETH Online Community Church. If you just click on that, it's going to take you to that link as well. Listen, if you'd like to support this ministry, if this ministry is a source of information, it's a source of revelation, it's a source of encouragement on a weekly basis, and you'd like to partner with us, listen, maybe you don't have a home church and this is you consider this to be your home church. We ask that you be obedient to the Lord and what he speaks to you to do. And you just be obedient and watch the Lord bless you. Again, we don't sell CDs. We don't sell DVDs. We don't sell merchandise, no books, no subscription fees, no digest fees. We don't charge you anything. Everything is free. All the messages, all this information, everything is free to you guys. All we ask you to do is listen to the Holy Spirit, be obedient to him, and if you'd like to partner with us with a gift of any amount, whether it be a monthly gift or a one-time gift, you can do that at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You guys on Facebook Live, there's a link right there. You can click on that. You guys by YouTube or by podcast, again, you can click on the main website, and there's going to be places all over there that you can click and do that. Again, our physical mailing address for those who wish to give by check or money order, that is End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, and that's Clarksville, Indiana, and the zip code is 47131. As always, we appreciate your partnership. We appreciate your giving to this ministry. And again, without your partnership, we're not able to do what we do on a weekly basis. For you guys that can and are able, if you're anywhere in the Ohio or Kentucky or Indiana region, we are going to be back in Cordon, Indiana, and just 3 days on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. at God's Church there in Cordon, Indiana. We're going to be there ministering that Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern. And then the following Sunday, we're going to be back in Cordon again at Cornerstone Church, Cornerstone Fellowship Church there in Cordon, Indiana as well. And it's going to be the same time as well, 10:30 a.m. Eastern. So again, I know some of you were able to spend time with you guys in service and fellowship with you guys. And we always appreciate seeing faces with names. It's with some of you guys that are able to do that. And we always enjoy spending time with you guys in these meetings. So we hope to see some of you guys this weekend. If not, we will be signing off and we'll be back on here next week for some more encouraging words of edification, exhortation, and exhorting, or we may have a prophetic update depending on how things go around the world. So we love you guys. God bless you. We'll see you soon.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.